Hi there, and welcome to Let's Slow Down, a podcast for all of you who feel tired and stressed from this overwhelming world. Here we'll have fun, inspiring conversations about living life on our own terms and explore ways to ease the pace of our modern world, because life really is good when you're relaxed enough to be present for it. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Stolting, and I welcome you to this space where I hope to inspire you to slow down, because life is too short to let it go by in a blur. So take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy the show. Today, I share a very special conversation I had with a friend that I made along my podcasting journey. Rain Elizabeth Stickney of Rain Elizabeth Healing Arts is a counselor, meditation practitioner, retreat host, and more. Rain is the host of the popular podcast, Every Moment is Sacred. I'll be sure to link all the information about Rain in the show notes. She has the most calming, soothing voice, and we shared an equally grounding conversation about choosing to live a meaningful life in order to experience all the sacred moments, especially those in our day-to-day lives when we slow down and choose to be present. We talk about the importance of role modeling this way of living to our kids and how much it can enrich all of our lives and the connections that we have with one another. So now we're going to jump right into my conversation with Rain. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
So I'm slowing down, Anne-Marie.
And I'm trying to live more in the present, in the moment, not on autopilot as much as seems to be the default so much of the time. Mm-hmm. It's hard to pull yourself out of that sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you pull yourself out of autopilot?
For me, first of all, recognizing that I'm in that mode, which, you know, a few years back, I think I was always in that mode almost all the time. And I had a little bit of an aha moment when my oldest started high school, because I could have sworn she was just a toddler like yesterday. And now she's at halfway through high school. And it really stopped me in my tracks. Like, how did this happen? How did we get here? It's been a wonderful ride, but a very fast ride. And, you know, kind of going along with that, if you're in the car and you're going super fast, like, you can't see what you're passing. You don't notice things. I just realized I want to slow down more and notice all of this and really experience these last few years of parenting her. I mean, obviously, I'll always be her mom, but it'll be different. So trying to be aware that it's happening, and that was like a big moment, but those things happen in the day to day. And I have turned a lot more to my breath. And I noticed that just taking a few deep breaths can kind of give a little reset and calm things down. If, you know, if there's anxiety or just big emotions, just nice deep breath, a few of them, and regroup. And that usually does help. I am turning to meditation more and more. Meditation is something that's newer for me personally, and I really enjoy it. I like guided meditation. Sometimes I like just sitting in silence or driving or walking without anything on, where before I'd always have music on or just something else playing. So those are some ways lately that I've been trying to incorporate more of this mindfulness in my life. Mm-hmm. How about you?
Absolutely. All of those things, and your example about the car and how fast we're going and what we can really see when we're going 60 miles an hour is different from what we can see when we're going 5 miles an hour. And our lives can be like that. I can be on the fast track. And my son is 9 now, but I'm remembering when he was 5 and he lost his first tooth. And that was one moment where I thought, oh my gosh, he's like going to college already. Let's slow down. Oh,
no. We tell them all the time, my husband and I, were like, stop growing, like stop getting bigger. But they do not listen, right? Mm-hmm. They don't listen. And mm-hmm. it's happening. And I feel like people tell you this when you first have kids, like, oh, you know, just wait, like it goes faster and faster. And I feel like it really does. Every year just feels like it went by quicker. Mm-hmm. And we want to savor this stuff because there's special moments and they'll always be our kids. But I think when they're young, there's so many just magical things that happen in mm-hmm. regular, like day-to-day life that can be missed if we're too tired, if we're too stressed, if we're just too distracted, mm-hmm. we'll miss it or we won't appreciate it for what it actually is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that goes for so many things, but I feel like kids really highlight that. And we all kind of owe it to ourselves, right? To experience all of those wonders. Those are some of the best parts of life.
Mm-hmm. And they're so meaningful for our children. And an example of meaning that's in my life today, my son is decorating our Christmas tree. We're recording this just before Christmas. And I actually really love the whole process of decorating a tree. And so he's over there in our house right now. I'm in my office, but I stop into the house every now and then and when I'm working. And so just a few moments ago, I stopped into the house and he has the tree all decorated. It's so beautiful. He's doing a great job. And he also wants to show me all of the special ornaments and where he put them and why he put them there and look at this one. And now as a busy mama, I could say, oh, not now. I'm busy. I'm going back to the office. I'll see you later. But that's not what's meaningful to him. What's meaningful to him is for me to slow down, that, you know, you're a great reminder of, Anne Marie, and to really look at, oh yeah, look, those two foxes are together. And yes, I love that silver ball. It's so shiny and bright. And he hands me one to put on. And we have a moment that might only take about 3 minutes. I'm just guessing. It's really not that long. But right. To have the discipline to choose him is so valuable. And it's what I love to make my life up of when I can. Am I really choosing the thing that's meaningful, that's going to light me up too? It's going to light him up, but like, let's be in the light together. Yes. And then we can walk away from that moment and we're still connected. So we're not in the same place right now. I'm doing this with you and he's doing that, but we're connected because we had a moment.
I love that. And that is so important for all of us. It's so important for them. Let them feel seen. Let them be seen and heard, but also for us as parents to experience that and connect with them. And like you said, maybe it's 3 minutes and it's a bunch of those 3 minute moments all connected and intertwined over the years, but that's the important stuff. Like the big moments are great too. You know, like the big vacation once in a while or the big celebration, whatever it is, but it's actually, I think, those 3 minutes scattered throughout the days that make up the most important, like core memories and core feelings. Like he'll remember that. He'll remember that mm-hmm. looking back. Oh, I remember, you know, showing my mom these and what we were talking about when I was decorating the tree. And mm-hmm. it's important. And I think our kids really crave that attention so much. And they're busy too. I mean, I can't really imagine being a kid these days. They've got a lot more on their plates at school. It seems like everything is just more demanding of all of us, including them these days. So for them to have those little moments of connection with us is equally as important for them to slow down their day to day.
Yes. And speaking of that, how busy children are, I am currently encouraging myself and my partner to role model differently for our son. Because as parents, we both can say, I'm too busy, or I have so much on my mind, or I slept terribly, or I have like such a big day, it's hard for me to even think about, or not right now, I'm, you know, busy, all these things that are just often true. And then if that is said too much, those types of busy statements, I find that my son picks them up. And so the other day, he and I were walking out to the garden. And he was saying, I really don't have time for this, Mama. I'm so busy. I have so much to do. And he sounded exactly like my partner and I. And so I thought, okay, note to myself, this is something to work on because children are such good teachers. They will tell us what they hear.
Oh, they are sponges, aren't they?
Yes. So as adults, we're on a mission to reframe our busyness a little differently. Perhaps we say like, oh, I have so many important things I'm so excited about today. Or it could just be said differently.
Totally. And it's important. And it does kind of stop you in your tracks. Sometimes you're like, oh, okay. Yep. I definitely said that. That's what it sounds like when it comes out.
Yep. There's that mirror.
Oh, yeah. And also modeling the rest piece and like the taking breaks. And I was raised in a busy home. There was a lot going on. And my mother will say she likes to go, go, go. She doesn't like to sit. She doesn't. She says she just can't. She's not comfortable doing it for her own reasons. And I'm different. I need that. I can't not do that. But I think for a long time, I think in the back of my mind felt a little like guilty or like I was being lazy or something if I took a break, because that wasn't really modeled to me as I was raised. So I am really trying to highlight that and focus on for my children that, oh, you know, yeah, you look tired. Why don't you go just go veg on the couch for a little bit? That's okay. You know, I'm not saying to turn into a couch potato and just watch, lay on a couch watching movies the rest of your life, but there is certainly a time and a place for it. And, or just maybe you shouldn't go out to that activity tonight. Like you seem kind of wiped out. Take a break. Stay in tonight. Give your body what it needs. I think that actually modeling them is the best way and the most effective way to really get through to our kids.
Yeah, definitely. And that is so sweet that you do that for your children, encouraging them to pay attention to themselves, take a rest, have the courage to sit down, do nothing for a little bit.
It is courage sometimes. I love that you use that word. It is. Because that's not what we see all around us. And I think that that's where it's important to really get back in touch with our self, you know, our true self, that listen to that inner voice, whether it's through meditation or whatever that looks like in your life, because we can easily get lost once we step outside or look on our phone or put the TV on. It's just such a fast, busy world out there. Constantly resetting, refocusing can help really stay true to what's important. And then model that for our kids. We're trying to make some changes in our house as well. For a while, I've just been saying, expressing to my family how I feel very overwhelmed and there's so many things. I feel like there's too many things. And we were making tweaks in schedules and commitments and things like that and how we operate on a daily basis over here. But we're doing a little bit of a I kind of joke and say it's like a social experiment over here for our spring, because typically the spring is a very, very busy time for us. And it's still a few months away. You know, like you said, we're recording this around Christmas. And I think it's important to look ahead and learn from our experiences. So looking at last year, what worked for us? What felt like it was a little too much? What just didn't work? What do we need to do more of? What do we need to do less of? What do we need to eliminate? What do we need to add? So this spring, we're taking a little hiatus from spring sports. My kids play a lot of sports and these sports are intense and they love them and there's many benefits, but it was too much for us. And our fall is also similar. So having a very, very busy, intense fall and spring was a lot. And I'm not saying we'll never do these things again, but this spring we're doing some things differently and we're going to take a break from those sports. And I have to say that we made this decision as a family. I may have kind of prompted the discussion, but it was a group effort and a conversation. And we're just going to try it. And we're not putting too much pressure on ourselves. Like, okay, this is like a permanent change for the rest of our lives. It's for one season. And we're going to see. We're all really excited about it. We have some really meaningful things that we're planning to do. So we're not going to do nothing, but we're incorporating experiences on our terms, not things that are already scheduled for us by other people, by outside organizations. Mm-hmm. And we are going to reconnect a bit as a mm-hmm. family unit before that oldest one is, you know, going to be out of the house before we know it. And we're excited about it. And I love that it's a few months away because I like that anticipation. It's exciting and we're all looking forward to it rather than, I know usually my kids are looking forward to the sports season, but I'm kind of like, oh, I feel like I have to get everything, just all the balls in the air, all the schedules like so perfectly set up and everything. And I'm looking forward to not having to do as much of that, having a slower spring for a change. And we're going to see what happens. We're just going to see what happens. And it's exciting, but it comes from the top, just like everything does. So as parents, you know, we have to say, hey, maybe we should look at this. Maybe there's a different way. Maybe we can try this. And yeah, we're going to make some meaningful changes for the spring and just see where it goes.
Wow. A different way. I'm so excited for you.
Yes, and, a different way.
Yeah. So let's feel into this. You have three kids and a husband. And first of all, you all agreed on something?
The stars must have all been aligned. There must have, I don't know. It must have just been, yeah, somehow we all agreed. I had to kind of go back and like, let's talk about this one more time because we may have all had a little different idea of how it was going to go at first, but yes, we have all agreed on it.
Okay.
And it's kind of the first time we're doing something like this where we really talked it out as a family unit and kind of examined, you know, where we've been, where we want to go, what we want this to look like. And we're getting a lot more intentional about how we spend our time, how we spend our energy. And I think just having that discussion is so huge. You know, we'll see. We'll see what comes of it. And we'll have another discussion as we're going through that and decide what's serving us and what's not. But I think really being aware of how we feel and how things are going and checking in with ourselves, mm-hmm. which comes from slowing down and through meditation and that inner work and just listening to our intuition, letting that guide us more. A lot of really powerful information can come up from that. And mm-hmm. I think for a long time, moving so quickly through life, that information's there, but you don't hear it. You don't listen to it. You don't have time to acknowledge it. So I'm trying to start acting a different way, as you said, mm-hmm. and we'll see what happens with it. But yeah, for now, we all agree on it and we're all just excited about this different season coming up.
I love this social experiment because what I imagine is that there is space for something new to happen. What does happen when we don't do this thing we usually do? And I feel so curious about what will grow, what will be encouraged, what little sprouts will come up from below the ground.
Wow, you and me both. And I love that picture, especially for spring, right? Planting mm-hmm. a new seed. Yeah. Yeah, I'm very curious as well. How do you find time? I mean, you are a master practitioner of meditation and living this way. So how do you incorporate this with yourself and as a family?
Well, with myself, I do have a spiritual practice every day, and I really need that as my own mainstay. Whether you or our listeners or anybody else knows about it, I just have to practice for me. And it really is a source of healing and growth that's lifelong. And my meditation and spiritual practices have seen me through the ins and outs of everything. So it's by choice. I love it. It's a discipline. I can't live without it. It's like breathing for me. And in this moment, one of the practices that I do every day is I chant in Sanskrit. And there are four. No, there's more than that. There's six prayers that I chant every day. And it's partly out of pleasure. I love the way Sanskrit sounds. In the tradition that I learned these chants in, it's said that the sounds are actually healing to hear and they are healing to make through the body. And then they also have special meanings. And what I find is that when I chant, it points my consciousness toward the divine and toward the sacred. So then it's actually easier for me to parent in a way that feels in alignment because I'm turning toward my values. And my son does not chant in Sanskrit. He might one day. My partner does, but he doesn't regularly. So it's not so much that I need my family to practice the way I practice. It's more that I practice so that I can see the opportunity that exists in the different personalities that we embody in our family. And so then in my partnership, he and I have moments of connection where we talk vulnerably with each other. Sometimes it's to work something out or scheduling or practical. And sometimes it's really just to connect vulnerably and just to have a moment of, hey, here's something I'm feeling vulnerable about. Ah, here's something I'm feeling vulnerable about. And there's this beautiful, soft connection that grows from that kind of self-revelation. And something that we do as a family is that we have a lot of sacred rituals. Like we will often say grace before a meal, and any one of us might say it, and it will sometimes be silly and sometimes be serious, but it's always sacred. We have a family gratitude practice. And some things that I might do just with my son, so I spend a lot of time in nature with him. And I find that nature automatically gives that reverence for life.
So, I agree. It is so powerful. I mean, you know, and I was talking about like breathing, how that can help kind of reset. Just taking a step outside in nature. I know you're in Vermont. You live in a picturesque area. And I'm lucky too as well here in New Jersey. I farms and mountains. And just taking a step outside for a few minutes, it is so grounding and things just, you know, something that might have felt so stressful or so important, it can kind of wash over you a little bit and things get a little much clearer, not just a little clearer, but being outside is so powerful. And it brings out the kid in all of us. I think that innocence and that, like that energy. We go for a lot of hikes as a family and it's just so fun as you get out there and you start moving, getting your heart rate up, but also in this place where you are reminded that you are a very small piece of something so much bigger.
And yes.
I love that.
Yes, yes. And in nature, I also find that impulse and instinct to be enlivened in the animal of us, like remembering that we're human animals. And my son might say, like, I want to go over here. And my partner might be looking up a tree and I might be, you know, feeling some moss with my hands. But there's this tactile interest that may or may not take us all in the same direction, but it's enlivened. And that is very exciting and fun for me. And you know, friends and family that I spend time in nature with, it's just true for all of us. There's something beautiful that happens in the outside world that's a little wild and appropriately so.
Yes. You noticed it especially during COVID. We're lucky. We have a lot of state parks and all kinds of places to go hiking and explore. And we were getting out there, especially in the beginning when the kids were like all of a sudden on this homeschool, virtual school, and everything was just so different overnight. And you know what? All those practices and all those other activities were canceled. So all of a sudden, that was such a silver lining for me. Obviously, it was a scary time in the world, but we were regularly going to these state parks, hiking and you know, playing in the creeks and the rivers. And oh, it was so healing and it just made everything better. And I remember thinking about these poor people that were stuck in apartments and, you know, even in cities and just places where they really didn't have that luxury of getting outside and really just connecting and being grounded with the earth and with nature. And I was thinking, like, how are they doing it? Because I needed it. I felt like I truly needed it every single day to get through that time. And definitely something that I used to take for granted and I don't anymore because it's so special and it's so powerful.
Yeah, it's easy to overlook the opportunity, but it's right there for all of us. And in different ways, I've had a lot of conversations with people about, oh, well, I live in an urban setting, or what do you say to people who live around sidewalks and skyscrapers? And Luckily, I have too. I haven't always lived in Vermont. And I lived in San Francisco for 13 years. I mean, there's lovely natural spaces in and around San Francisco, but there's a lot of concrete and tall buildings there. And it's wonderful to notice how nature grows wherever you are. So just noticing the dandelion in the crack of the sidewalk is valuable if you choose to notice it. Or noticing what color the sky is today. And also in California, there's a lot more smog than there is in Vermont or in the part of California where I lived. And so even if it's noticing the haze or the smog or the blue sky, it's very helpful to look up and to see what is that above me? How does it look today? And just having that openness to include the natural world, however it's coming.
You know, that dandelion growing through the sidewalk, same dandelion might get lost in a big yard or a field, but it's illuminated coming out of it.
It's just
so much, right? I mean, it's like, okay, wow, yeah, that's highlighted. There we are. Mm-hmm. And maybe you notice different things, but more prominently in a city. Never thought about it that way.
Yeah. Have you always lived in New Jersey?
I have. But I guess it was almost 8 years ago, my husband and I moved out to a more rural area. We have a lot of farms and things like that. And we were in a regular suburb before that where I had grown up myself. And it's a lot more open out here, maybe a little slower paced. I mean, not so much. We only moved a half hour away. We didn't go across the country or anything like you did. But we really just felt the need for, like, we wanted more space. We didn't want to be right on top of our neighbors and in a real crowded, like, you know, town with lots of traffic and things like that. So we moved out here and it's nice. I like to have a little bit of breathing room. I really do. And you've lived in so many, it sounds like, so many different types of places. I mean, coming from San Francisco to living in Vermont, what prompted that change for you?
Yeah, we were living in Mill Valley, which is just north of San Francisco. So it was a wonderful redwood town. And I have friends and family who live there. And I was born and raised in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I lived all over that area, North Bay, South Bay, East Bay, in the city for the most part until I moved here to Vermont. And what was happening for us in Mill Valley, so many things were happening, but some of the major things were that in 2019, we had decided to move to Amsterdam. And so we were preparing for a move. We didn't register our son for the next year of school because we were preparing the current year to be the last year in the States. And then, you know, March of 2020, the pandemic hit in the way of schools closing and travel plans changing. And for us, our move became more challenging. And eventually we decided not to move to Amsterdam. And in those months of the early pandemic, there was also a lot of wildfire smoke because in 2020, it was right in the middle of four consecutive years of really serious wildfires for really all of California. But in that area where I was living, even if the fire wasn't right where we were, there was so much smoke that it became very difficult to be outdoors because the air wasn't really safe to breathe with a high level of particles, particulates in the air from the smoke. So these are the particulates that we can't see. There's the smoke we can see, and then there are the particulates that are really damaging to the lungs. And we got in this terrible conundrum that was the most stressful for me because I was parenting our son. He was five turning six. And it was difficult to be indoors. It was difficult to be outdoors. He was having some troubles with his vision and with his health. There were different kinds of pods being formed because of the pandemic, and then choosing who to spend time with and where, and then who's spending time with other people, and then the whole conundrum of school. And I became so stressed that I needed a different experience. And the only thing I really felt in control of was where I lived. I didn't feel in control of the wildfires. I didn't feel in control of the smoke. I didn't feel in control of the pandemic. And I didn't feel in control of my son's health. And I didn't feel in control of what other people were choosing about how, you know, like their part of our relationships, I couldn't choose for them. So it was just crazy making. And my partner and I talked about different places to live. And Vermont is a place that he spent a lot of time in when he was a child. And so it's his heartland. And I had only been to Vermont once prior to moving here. But
wow. That is brave.
Well, I found it to be a very peaceful state. And one of the things that I find delightful about Vermont is there's a state law that there are no billboards. And there's something about just that simple fact that makes a huge difference. There are no billboards.
Interesting.
So we moved out here and we love being here. We miss California and we still might get some wildfire smoke from Canada, mm-hmm. but it is not the same as what was happening in California those few years. And something that was really helpful right when we moved here, we arrived in October of 2020, the air was clear. We had a forest to be in. We had space. We can be indoors and outdoors. It was the pandemic, so it was tricky meeting people, but we felt a sense of freedom that we didn't have in California that actually was de-stressing for all three of us.
That's a great story. And I mean, to move in the height of a pandemic like that and away from the place you called home for most of your life is wild. And also to have to really redirect or rethink that dream of moving abroad. That was a lot for you guys. Do you think that you'll revisit that down the road or is Vermont home for now?
I think we'll stick here. And my partner still works in Amsterdam, so he travels a lot. And just funny enough, I have roots in Holland. So a lot of my bloodline is Dutch. And it is fun to have that connection. It seems somehow right that we're connected to that part of the world, but we're really happy in Vermont. And it seems that with climate change, it's a pretty good place to be. And of course, the climate is changing here as in all over the world, but there's still a snowfall. There's still a rainfall. These things feel important to me. And I like watching the snow melt and know that the earth is getting a big drink of water. My son loves it here. So I can't really say what exactly will happen in the future, but as far as we can tell, we've landed in a really good spot.
So important. I'm happy for you guys. And you can't see it, but I can see Rain's background and it is a picture that she took from her yard. And it's just this beautiful winter wonderland behind her. It looks like a postcard. I had to ask her if it was a real background or not. That's how beautiful it looks.
The trees get laden with snow and the branches hang heavy. And it is a winter wonderland, especially in moments. And of course, there's always change. And then there's the next snowfall. And, you know, in the summer, it's tremendously green, which is very healing for my eyes. There is some science behind the healing properties of seeing the color green, but I know that at least for me, I feel so soothed by seeing green all around me, that lush wilderness.
Well, I do too. I didn't know that there was science behind that, but I 100% believe it because it's just very soothing. I also get that feeling. My other happy place is the beach. So if I am standing on the sand, feet in that warm sand, looking at the ocean, I don't know. It's like perfect for me. I just feel like everything's okay. I think I just feel more grounded there than anywhere else that I've ever been. And again, it's that power of nature.
I love the beach too. It is something that I really miss being here. I mean, we have a lake. We have an amazing lake, but and that's good. I'm very grateful for a shoreline at the water. The ocean is a different experience though. And so whenever I'm at any ocean, whether it's the Atlantic or the Pacific or another spot in the world, I just really, really, really love. I love that great expanse.
I always tell my kids, like, take a deep breath. I just feel like that salty air is just so healthy and just good for us. And try to just breathe it in as much as I can. And this is making me think of, you know, your podcast is called Every Moment is Sacred. And I've been focusing so much on these simple things, like just like what we're talking about, you know, like noticing the salty air, feeling the sand, seeing the green, all of these little things, that those 3 minutes with your son and the Christmas ornament. I really find that it's these little things, that it's the simplicity. It's the simplicity that adds so much meaning, and being mindful in our everyday moments, things that we do throughout the day, they are so much more valuable. And I'm just noticing, even on Instagram, I really try to stay off of it for the most part, but, you know, I like to share the podcast there, and that can be a very overwhelming space for me. There's just a lot going, talk about busy. There's just a lot going on, busy, fast, all of it. But I've noticed that, you know, certain people, there's one person, I was looking at their pictures and it was just the simplest little things. And looking through these pictures was so relaxing to me, which is not usually the feeling that I would get after scrolling on Instagram. And then just today when I was eating my lunch, I had cut up an orange and it just looked so, it was so pretty. It was like a nice bright orange and it was really sweet and juicy and delicious. And I cut it up, and oranges look really cool when you cut them in half and you see all the shapes and the texture. And I just took a little picture of it. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to remember this, because I don't know, before I would have been like talking to, you know, somebody in the kitchen eating the orange, like, oh yeah, this is good. But I really savored it, and I savored how it tasted and what it looked like. And I enjoyed my lunch much more than usual. It's just these little things. And again, that's nature too, right? It was a fresh fruit.
Yes. So. Yes. And I find that having those sacred moments with the orange, like you describe, is one of the ways that we can let go of overwhelm. And what I mean by that is that I find through the healing work that I offer in studying psychology for most of my life, I started studying psychology when I was in middle school, so just a young teenager. The experience of being overwhelmed often has in it so many emotions that we have not felt yet, whether we couldn't at the time, we decided not to, it was just too much to feel all at once. You know, there's a million reasons why we might not feel all of our emotions when they're arising. But when we get filled up with too much emotional content, we can call that overwhelm. But when we find these moments that are sacred with an orange or whatever, we're allowing ourselves to have that moment. We're allowing ourselves to feel and to appreciate and to be with and to savor. I love it when you use the word savor. We get to enjoy. And that is part of the metabolization in the emotional realm. And so we might feel a little less overwhelmed after we allow a sacred moment with something that's occurring just naturally. Like letting off a little bit of pressure, like letting off a little bit of steam, like there's a little more space because I chose to be really present right then.
So true. That's what I experienced. And I get that same kind of feeling when I just focus on one thing at a time. And I think that, you know, multitasking has just become like people have taken it to another level. And I really tried to stop multitasking as much as possible, because with the exception of like having the wash going while I'm doing something else, like something along those lines. But like, you know, all of us have so much on our plates, and I have a particularly busy mind. And if I let it get the best of me, it's like, honestly, I'll never get anything done. And not that I need to be uber productive and checking a million things off a to-do list, but we all have to, you know, be productive people. And I just find the distraction can be overwhelming. So just focusing on one thing at a time, while that could seem like, oh, only one thing. Yeah. But then I'm going to accomplish that. I'm going to do it efficiently. I'm going to be present for it. So hopefully enjoy whatever it is that I'm doing. I'm going to do it well. And you know what? Usually takes way less time because when you're just focused, just, okay, sit down, turn off the phone, focus on what you're doing and get it done and move on. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we're trying to do three or four things at one time, they're probably not getting done well, if at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I started giggling a little bit as you were just sharing, Anne-Marie, because sometimes if I choose to focus on one thing rather than multitask, as you describe, sometimes I slip into the timeless, which is really where I live. And I am known to say that clocks are my friend and I live in the timeless. And that is really true of me. But to like lose track of time such that I'm not looking at a clock, and then it might, just for me, maybe not anybody else, it might take me longer to do something, but it's because I'm so happy.
And especially when you're doing something creative, like to get lost in that for a little while is the best. Like what, you know, 2 hours just passed, way better than like, oh, I just scrolled on Instagram for 2 hours. What just happened? You know, it's a different kind of losing time. But yeah.
Yes. It's
a wonderful feeling for sure.
Yes. I lose time in the garden all of the time. And I love being in the garden all year round. And we have a little greenhouse and we have outdoor beds. And right now we have garlic growing out there. And really a garden is something like a child or a relationship or self-care. There's always more to do. And I find it very enjoyable. So I often will say, oh, I'll be out in the garden for a few minutes. It's like hours later, I come back.
Your son's gonna be like, really, Mom? A few minutes? You wanna... Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You want to rephrase that?
They know my code. My code is, I'll see you later.
Oh, that's great. It's so important to have things like that to clear your head and to get lost in. Because that's the secret to living a fulfilling life. Just doing those things, figuring out what those things are that bring joy, and then giving yourself the time and space to actually do them. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I found that I actually don't even think I could have answered that question. Like, what do you enjoy doing? Because I never really took the time to do anything for myself because I was running, doing all of the things I was supposed to do. And it's just no way to live. That's the recipe for burnout, overwhelm, and nobody's winning. You don't, you know, I wasn't feeling good myself. And then obviously wasn't showing up well for anyone else as a result. And what's the point? That's just not the way that I want to go through these days.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I get it. I'm drawn to thinking about the breath. And I heard you speaking up about breathing a little earlier in our conversation. And I'm just reminded about the beauty of being able to breathe into our lives and not hold it all. I notice in myself as well as when I gaze upon others that the busyness can cause us to hold our breath. And that holding of breath is real and also symbolic of everything we're holding and how wonderful it is to breathe and let go of what we can let go of. So both physically with an exhale and also letting go of all the symbolics and details and strategies and whatnot that we hold in our minds and bodies and hearts and spirits, that exchange, that reciprocity of breathing in and breathing out and really breathing into our lives, it's a better way. And I say that as a matter of opinion. So we all get to decide, is that a better way for us? But physiologically, I mean, breathing is a good idea.
Some would say it's necessary.
Yes, as long as we're here walking around, we gotta have some breath.
Well, actually, I really think that is a beautiful way to put it. And it's such a great reminder and probably a great way to wrap this episode up today, to just remind everybody listening to go take a deep breath and relax and notice. I mean, even as we're talking, like I feel relaxed. I'm really loving talking to you. I'm very calm, enjoying our conversation, but we can tense up and those shoulders go up, and just taking that deep breath and letting it go. Give yourself that gift, because it is a gift.
Mm-hmm. It's a gift to become conscious of breath.
And it's very healing. You know, you were talking about all these healing moments and breathing in what we need and what's important and what we value, and kind of breathing out and letting go of the rest mm-hmm. can be a very healing way to go through this life.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and have been inspired to slow down and start living life at your own pace. As a brand new podcast, your listener voice matters. If Let's Slow Down is resonating with you, please take a minute to leave a review and rate us. Subscribe to the show wherever you listen and share it with friends. Remember, this is a process, so go easy on yourself. Be gentle and take all the space you need to thrive, because the world needs you to be at your best, to love and serve others and yourself.